gladder or happier to be in his presence. Amen. Well, y'all are so agreeable. Are y'all tired or what's up with you this morning? You're tired. I'm going to drag it out of you. All right. Well, hey, let's do what we do every Sunday morning. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God some praise. If you thought that you were done with that part of the service, you're not. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to do in this service. God, right now, every ounce of aggravation and irritation and depression and sadness and addiction, God, I tell them things right now to go in Jesus' name. Lord, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I just bind up every hindrance that would try to come against your children that would receive this word. Lord, I thank you right now for the spirit of peace, God, that we loose in this place right now. Lord, I thank you for every single thing that you're working on. God, I thank you that peace and resolve, Lord, is coming right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it has been a wonderful, busy week, and I'm sure it's been the same for you. One of the things that I want to minister to you about this morning is weariness. And I always preach out of the overflow of my life because it is what I know. There's nothing worse than somebody preaching for an hour or however long they want to preach and they don't know what they're talking about. So it's best to stick with what you know. So that's why we do it the way that we do it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be looking at verse 28. And it says here, "Do you not know and have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God?" And I want to say to you this morning that God is going to outlast your problem. I want to encourage you this morning that God is going to outlast the issue that has come up that seems really big to you. That the Lord is going to outlast every family trouble that you face. The Lord is going to outlast, outwit, outplay every marriage problem that you could possibly have. He's going to outlast all of those things. And so when you feel discouraged, when you feel overwhelmed by the problems that you face, when you feel weary, you need to proclaim the word of God over your life and you need to say, "Now God, everything in your word is yes and amen. Everything that you have to say is right on the money." So God, I thank you, Lord, that you are the everlasting God. God, you're making yourself known in this situation, in this problem. Because how many of you know if you live just a second in this lifetime, the devil's always trying to talk you into a failure. He's always trying to talk you into just laying down and just killing over and say, "Okay, I give up." But look here, you've come too far for that. You've come too far to throw your hands up and give up. But I do understand, and I experience it myself many times, that we get weary at times. We feel stressed. We feel overwhelmed. We feel depressed. We feel sadness. And that's not a terrible thing for a believer to be able to admit. But there is a Bible that is full of the promises of God that tell you a better way to live. And so in verse 28 it says, "Do you not know and have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. And he will not grow tired and he will not grow weary." And how many of you know that when you get real tired and you get real weary, you felt yourself getting to that point where before you got to that point? It's like a growth that comes up on your body, and it started out small, and if you don't pay attention to that thing, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. That is the same thing that we face when we have weariness and tiredness, and we're exhausted. And the devil loves to get us in this state, because we make some of our worst decisions in the middle of being tired, in the middle of being weary. We make some really bad calls. And so we have to learn as believers, what do I do when I feel weary? What do I do when I feel overwhelmed? Now, before I really get into the heart of this message, how many of you know, I don't know if anybody's told y'all today, but we love you so much. And me and Pastor Jeremy, we love y'all. And we just cherish y'all. And what I want to know is who in this building is hot or cold. So we're going to take a vote because I really try to please everybody. And I know that is like a lost cause, but we're going to just do it. Is anybody hot in the building? If you please raise your hand. Okay. We're by the fan. Okay. Dad, I know you've done this for 35 years, so just go over there and do something with that to appease these people over here. Did you see all those hands? Okay. All right. Now, if you're cold, you need to go over there. All right? And if you're hot, you need to go over there. Now, for everybody that doesn't find any humor in me doing this on live, you're going to have to get over it because I am not a scripted type of person because life is not scripted. It's not. And the more you try to fake it, you're not going to make it. You get that? The more you keep on faking it, the less you're going to be making it. It's time for people to get real, keep it real, stay real. And that's how we live and have our being is when we can just keep it honest with ourselves. So look here, if you want a scripted service, you're not going to get one here. If I feel like people's hot, I'm going to stop the whole thing and try to make you comfortable. Now, if you get cold, put your jacket on and go sit over there. So we're talking about weariness this morning. And so it says here, he will not grow tired or weary. And I want to minister to you this morning. God understands you more than you understand yourself. God understands what you're going through. He sees what you're going through, and he goes through that battle with you. You are not alone in it. And all discouragement, all weariness, all irritation and aggravation, those things only come from Satan. And so what we have to do is we have to know what we do when we feel that weariness coming on. And so what we understand is that God's not going to get tired, and he's not going to get weary. He's not going to do those things. A few months ago, Michelle and I, we went walking around the track. Now, I'm pushing 40 years old, so I'm trying to get healthier. People tell you that's what you need to do when you get to pushing 40. You need to try to get healthier. So here I am. I'm trying. And sometimes it goes good and sometimes it don't. But me and her was walking. And how many of you ever been to that big track across from the high school? They tell me that that is a mile, one lap around that thing. Now, it feels like a 10K marathon to me. So being the competitive person I am, I thought, I'm going to keep up with Michelle, and she probably was thinking she's going to keep up with me, so we're two determined women. We walked around that thing 8 times. Glory to God. I thought, my 40-year-old self, myself pushing 40 years old, I'm feeling that the next day. All right? I'm not that healthy, and I'm not that energetic, and my hips was hurting, and I was thinking, oh, why did I do that to myself? And here's what I want you to understand about weariness, is you are not in a competition with God. And you are not in a competition with anybody else. And when you feel that weariness coming on, look here, you don't got to try to outlast God. You're not going to. You don't got to try to carry that whole burden and think, I'm going to just, no, look here, when you feel that tiredness and that weariness coming on, you need to stop right there and you need to say, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, you said that you were outlasting these problems, so God, I just choose your rest right now. Lord, I'm not going to try to act like I'm anything other than your child. So God, minister to me right now because I'm feeling weary. God, minister to me because I feel broken. We don't have to try to act like we're some which way if we're not. We have to keep it real with what we are. And so it says here, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And you know, I think back to some of my deepest, darkest moments, And what I felt in those moments was misunderstood. When I look back at those moments, what I feel like is I didn't feel like there was a person on the planet that could understand quite how I felt in that moment. And I believe that as humans, we all feel that way. You ever feel that way? You think, nobody's ever felt this emotion quite like I'm feeling it right now. And we get that pity going on for ourselves. And then if we really are into it, we're going to sit there all day and we're going to fester up in it and waller up in it like a little piggy does a mud puddle. And we get all up into that pity. We roll around in it. I threw the piggy part in for these teenagers. I got to keep them paying attention. They like to grow hogs. And so God understands you. It's one of the biggest points I want to bring out this morning. When you're feeling weary, when you're feeling that kind of way, I want you to know that the most important thing is that the person that created you, he understands you. Have you ever been feeling some way and you didn't even understand how you got there? The other day, it was on a Monday, and I went to go minister at the jail. Now, that is one of the highlights of my week. Because you cannot preach to them women in there without them preaching right back at you. And you talk about just having a real, raw moment. You get up in there and you start ministering to them ladies, and you can just, it's like a wave, and you can just see the Holy Spirit go right up in there and hit every single heart, including mine. I've been in there. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've done a lot of things, and it's been, I just get choked up talking about it, but the other day, I was in there, and I was feeling some kind of aggravated. And any of you that know anybody in my family, me and my dad are the world's worst at being able to hide any aggravation. If we're aggravated, you're probably going to know about it, because we'll be wearing it. And I went up in there, and there was this sweet, precious lady, and we got to all talking, and I said, you know, one of my problems, Miss So-and-so, is I take everything too personal, and when I do that, I get really weary. Now, I want to minister to some folks in here. There's some people, you may be watching live, you may be sitting up in here today, you're taking some things way too personal. We're taking them too personal. And our little feelings is getting ruffled and hurt. And look here, that's a deception of Satan. We can take things too personal, and that's going to bring on some instant weariness, inadequateness, feeling like we're never going to be this, or we're never going to, and it just gets us in that place. And I want to tell you this morning, stop taking things too personal. Stop analyzing the way somebody said something to you, the way they looked at you, the this and the that. See, you're a child of God. God's not growing weary of you. He's not sick of you. And most importantly, he understands you. And he understands your situation. When you're crying at night, God understands it. When you wake up in the morning and you're already dreading it and it's not 8 o'clock, he understands you. And he understands that weariness, and he wants to pull you up out of it. And so it says, he will not grow tired or weary in his understanding. No one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. And I want to tell you something. The worst thing that you can do to yourself is puff yourself up so much that you can't understand when you're having a weak moment. This goes back to, you ain't making it if you're faking it. You ain't making it if you're faking it. If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling some type of way, power's coming. That's what the Word of God says. It says, he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men, they stumble and they fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. See, your hope has got to be in God. It's got to be there. If it ain't there, you're going to be disappointed. People will let you down. They don't mean to, but they do sometimes. We was up there in that jail cell, and God began to just speak to my heart. And you talk about being able to hear God very clearly. When I get up in there, it's like all reality is just very simple. And God said, Kelly, I want you to have that lady pray for you for this weariness to come up off of you. And I said, well, Lord, I'm supposed to be ministering to them. Did you miss that part? Remember, I came in here to help them and minister to them. That's kind of selfish of me to go up in there and take up their time for them to pray for me. And I said, and the Lord just kept bringing it up. And I said, Miss So-and-so, will you pray for me and every other woman that's taking things a little too personal and we're getting weary and we're getting worn out? Can you pray for that? And let me tell you something. This lady, she just began to pray. And when she began to pray, the Holy Spirit just hit that place. And every one of them women was crying out to God. They just began to get some things going in their life. And I want to tell you something. It is not a sin to be weary. But we do have to recognize that that's coming on. And we got to know what to do when it's coming. We got to know what to do when it's here at our doorstep. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men, they stumble and they fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 28. And it says here, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And if I've heard this once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, I feel like I have to have my stuff all together before I go to God. Well, baby, you ain't never going to get to God. That's what I can tell you. How many of you, you've caught yourself more than once saying, well, when everything calms down, well, when everything gets back to normal, well, when I get through this trial, well, when this happens, look here, you'll set aside your whole life just waiting for when that thing's going to happen. There was a time that I waited for a piece of mail to come in for 2 years, and I kept postponing happiness. I kept postponing being able to move past a grudge and to put something behind me. And I kept on and I kept on. And every time I would have a bad day, I would say, I'm having a bad day because I'm sitting here. My life is held up because I don't have this piece of mail. And this part of my life still doesn't have any closure. And I kept telling that to God and kept telling him. And I kept getting irritated. Well, guess what happened? 2 years rolled by and I got that piece of mail. Barbara, guess what? I've never been so angry in my life. I opened that mailbox, got that piece of mail out, and looked at it, and I was irritated. You know why? Because I had built up an unrealistic expectation that something was going to make me happy, and it didn't. Because at the end of the day, I just wasn't a happy person at that point in my life, and I kept telling my happiness to wait till I got that piece of mail. And look here, when I got it, there was nothing up in there but irritation still. We can't postpone our lives to wait for something, and we keep saying, well, when this happens, I can go on. When this happens, I can be happy. Look here, you best figure out a way to be happy in the here and the now, because tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. God wants to use you today. God wants to move in your life today. God wants to move that big old mountain out of your way today. And if we keep telling things, I'll do this tomorrow. Look here. Leave tomorrow in tomorrow. Let's focus on today. I got that piece of mail out. And I looked at it, and I was agitated because I realized that for 2 years I'd been unhappy, and getting that piece of mail, it didn't make me and it didn't break me. I still wasn't happy. We have to know how to process and deal with weariness. And so when the word says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. See, God doesn't say, all you perfect folks, get yourself looking spiffy, slick that hair back, get on your best whatever, and then you can come to me. Get done sinning and get all these problems worked out of your life. You do all the work. And when you get all that stuff done, then you can come to me and I'll be your God. That's not what he says. He pinpoints out people and he says, okay, all you people that are weary and burdened, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me. See, you don't got to get your life all fancied up for Jesus. He knows all about your life. You don't got to fake what you're feeling in that moment. When you're hurting, I want you to tell God, God, I'm hurting. When you feel let down, tell God about it. When you feel like life has let you down, tell God about it. When you feel that burden coming on and that weariness coming on and you want to just have a little fit, God says, come on to me now. Come to me. Right in the middle of all that stuff, come to me. I tell this story over and over. Every time I hear this verse, I think of my nephew, Evan. And when we raised him, Mom and Dad did most of the raising. I was more like a cool aunt. Yes. Anyways, that child had a problem. And the problem was he was very spoiled. He still is. Rotten to the bone. And whatever that kid wanted, he basically got. But one of the things that he loved doing was he loved sleeping in the bedroom with Pawpaw. That's just what he did. Well, look here. That kid's a big kid. There comes a point in time you can't be sharing a bed with somebody that's as big as you. I mean, you know. So they were trying to wean that kid off of being in there with him at night. Have you parents ever had to do that? Well, I never got that started because I didn't think I'd ever be able to get them out if I let them in. So I remember when they tried to do that to him, it didn't go over real great. And he'd wake up in the middle, just crying, in the middle of the night, just crying, crying, crying. We'd have to deal with this kid. And every night this kid would cry and it would just wake me up. I was about 20 years old and I was thinking, oh, my God, just let him sleep with you. I mean, what's the big deal? Lord, have mercy. So probably one of the last nights that he woke up crying, I could hear it all throughout the house. It's these 10 acres of nothing but country, and you couldn't pay me money to live in the country now. If I'm not 2 seconds from Sonic, I ain't living there. I'll live in a shoebox as long as it's by Sonic. You're welcome, Sonic, for the free ad. And so it's pitch dark, and all you hear is this kid screaming bloody murder all throughout the house. And I tell you what, you talk about waking up out of a dead sleep and your heart just pounding like something's going on. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, what is wrong with this kid? This is before I had kids, and I understood. And all I could hear on the other side of the house was Dad. And he's going, come here, baby. Come here, baby. Baby's as big as him. Come here, honey. Papa's right over here. And I'm just thinking, all I could hear was banging, clanking, things falling on the ground. I mean, the kid's enormous. And here's Dad with his little skinny legs, and I can just picture him. He's got his arms out, and he's talking to Evan in the dark. And Evan's trying to follow his voice. And Evan's all worked up. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I was not a parent at this time. But I could feel in my heart the moment that they made contact. I felt it. Because he shut up. Praise God. Peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. You don't got to have your life all fancied up for God. When you're hurt, man, you need to go to God. When you're weary and so past what you feel like is okay, you need to go to God. Because God is right there, and he's saying, you could be in the dark just like Evan was all those years ago, and God's got his arms open, and he's saying, come on, follow my voice. See, my sheep, they hear my voice. A stranger, they will not follow. And God's constantly saying, come here, come on. There's such a lie for believers that we feel like everything has to look perfect and be perfect all the time. And that's just a stress of its own. Let me tell you something. Everything's not going to be perfect. We live in a very imperfect world where we have real problems. And when we have weariness, we need to know that, you know what, at any point in time, all you got to do is climb up in Daddy God's lap and put your head right by his heart where you can feel it beating, and you know that there's nothing that he's not going to do for you. And just as we have our own children, how many of you just love, you remember when your kids would come home from school and there'd be something wrong and you could just, you were thinking, I don't know who did this to my kid, but they're about to get it. All you sweet people are like, I've never said that. No, look here. I don't care if my kid did it. They're still getting it. But so we're in Matthew chapter 28, or in chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And if there's one thing that I could just really hammer down in this message, it's the need for rest. Spiritual rest, physical rest, emotional rest. The devil loves to get people unrested in every type of way. Many of our bad decisions are because we're tired in some way. We're tired. And so the word says that, hey, when you get this overwhelming business going on, when you get weary, come to me, because I want to give you some rest. Not rest, I had my 8 hours. You know what? An inner rest, an inner peace. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what God is wanting to do right here is an exchange. All that heavy stuff, he wants you to give it to him, and he wants you to take what he has because it's easier. Because it's what he has for us. And learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. A lot of people going around, and they've got very heavy burdens. They're stressed about many, many things. And when we look at all that stress and all that worry, there's nothing that our worries can add to it. But yet we still worry. My husband tells me, Kelly, if you didn't have something to be worked out up about, you'll make it up. And I'm like, yeah, Jeremy, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I've been meditating for weeks now, God. What do you want me to do when I feel this weariness coming on? And I feel like a little kid, and I keep coming back to God, and I keep saying, God, here I am again. Here I am again. And you know, God's never turned me away, not one time. I think what people get sick of is they're doing their best, and they are getting discouraged because they say, God, I'm doing my best and nothing's happening. Jeremy and I, well, I can't, he's just a sweet, innocent bystander. I decided it would be a good idea to fix our flooring in our house. Now, they warned me about doing this. They said it's going to produce a lot of dust Well, I'm good with dust. I mean, how much dust are we talking? Let me tell you what. There's a reason the people that lived there before us put tile on top of the existing tile. Okay? Because they didn't want to deal with it. David Fitzgerald, Lord bless his sweet soul. Bless him, Lord. He said, Kelly, it's going to produce some dust. Are you okay with that? Sure. I know what to do with dust. Look here. I'm about knee deep in dust. It's everywhere. And I'm going, So the other day I come down the stairs. And I'm so weary of the dust. I opened my mouth, and it was in my mouth. And I was like, and then I opened my eyeballs, and it went in my eyeballs, too. It's just in the air. And then I go, and I turn the corner downstairs, and poor David, here he is. We looked like we were in the Sahara Desert or something. He's drilling on the floor, and there's just, I mean, it looked like, I don't know if it looked like the Holy Spirit coming out of that dust or what, but here it was. There was dust everywhere. He had it all in his hair. He had it everything, and I said, David, do you just want to, do we just want to stop doing this, and we'll figure out another way to get this tile on the floor, and we'll just go, we'll just skip this, and we'll just do, we'll stop this dust thing, and we'll just put it on top of the other tile. He goes, no, Kelly, that's not how this is going to go. You're going to love your flooring, but what you're going to have to be able to do is tolerate this dust. And this dust is only going to be here for about a week. And if you can hang on for a week, you're going to be a very happy girl. But you're going to have to tolerate this. And then there's going to be some cleanup after it. But it's going to get you to where you want to be in your house, and it's going to be done right. Now, look here. There's going to be stuff go on in your life that's going to wear you out. It's going to stress you out, and it's going to cause you some stress and some aggravation. Look here. That doesn't mean give up. That doesn't mean go about it a different way. If God's told you to go this way, you keep going that way, and you realize that, look here, at every point that I get weary, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to ask him what he thinks. I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to just keep coming back to him, keep coming back, keep coming back. The problem with people, when they get really in a weary spot, they'll go to God maybe once, maybe twice, but then, see, God's not going to change what he told you. And sometimes we like to go to an outside source because we want some other explanation to suit our fancy. So that's where we get into trouble. We may call Sally Sue. We may call Billy Joe. We may do all these things and get some bad advice and all of that. Keep coming back to God. Keep coming back to him. If you keep getting weary, keep going back to him. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Jeremy goes, I wish I would have got this picture for you. But God bless Jeremy because he's like the sweetest man. He texted me a picture of himself sitting at his desk in our house, and he had a towel under his door. The dirt was seeping through the door. It was seeping through the cracks, and he had his mask on, and he took a picture of himself. He goes, this is how much I love you. I can't even breathe in my own house. I am covered from head to toe in dust, all because you decided that you wanted new floors, and I'm going to be that husband that's let you get them. Now look here. When you decide that, hey, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm just going to do what God said. Yeah, I understand there's going to be some weariness up in that moment. Probably lots of them. But God, I'm going to keep coming back to you every time. Because I know that at the end of the thing, the end of the thing is better than the beginning. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some days where you're weary. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some moments where you may doubt, God, are you here? Lord, what's going on? I feel like I'm just in the balance of all these things. You're going to have those days. That's why we're talking about this. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So let us not become weary in doing good. And I see this a whole bunch. People will be doing the best they can for a long time. And weariness will set in. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't allow all the joy to be sucked out of your life when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're doing well. It's hard to keep in there. To hold on. I have days where sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like doing what I said I was going to do. And if we're honest, y'all don't either. We don't do them because we feel like it. We do them because it's right. I was standing with Dwayne at the edge of the parking lot a couple weeks ago, and we was getting grapped out. This happens on the weekly basis. We was getting grapped out about people irritated they were having to wait in a car line to come and get the food. And that aggravation devil wanted to get all over me. It did a little bit. I was walking back. That's a long walk when you're aggravated. I was walking back and I was just... Deborah, I heard God say, Kelly, get your attitude in check. We're here to serve people. We're here to serve them. Don't allow one person that said one stupid thing out of all these hundreds of people to steal that joy from what is really going on here. Because see, what's going on is people are getting their needs met and I'm doing it. Amen. Don't get weary in doing good. Amen. Keep doing good. Keep doing the right thing. God's got a big blessing. And so it says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God has the moment in time where your breakthrough is going to manifest. He has that second, that down to the very split second of when that answered prayer is coming. Don't allow yourself to get weary in doing the right thing. Many people, they'll be looking over here and they'll be looking over there and they're going, I'm a way better Christian than her. I can slip up a little bit and still be good with Jesus. Look here. Don't look over there. Don't look over there. Don't measure yourself up against somebody else. Doesn't matter what they're doing when they're weary. Matters what you're doing. So let us not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest. At the proper time. There's a proper time for it. How many of you women have ever had a baby? Never forget it. I remember when I had Carson Paul. I went in there at 6, and I thought, I'm going to be eating a cheeseburger by 11 o'clock. Look here. Didn't happen. I struggled with that little monster all day. And then I got into the next day. I finally delivered that kid the next day. But I remember my mother. We got down. The doctor came in. He said, it's time to push. And my crazy self, I had done all the hard work. And when he said that, fear just got all over me. And I looked at Jeremy and I said, I'm not ready. I don't want to do it. Because you're going to push this kid out, Kelly. We'd have been here all night. Haley's looking at me like, oh. I was just horrified because I knew I'd never be the same after that. And my mother, she goes, okay, we're going to count. I thought, okay, what are we counting to? We're going to count to 10. All right, she's delivered babies before. I thought, well, she knows what she's doing. So we get to counting. And I'm pushing. All you dads, you probably know all about this. And my own mother, my own sweet mother, she started getting on my nerves. Because she wasn't counting fast enough. And I looked up there at her, and I said, Mother, you're going to have to count faster. I was bit everybody's head off. And she just looked at me. She goes, okay, sweetie. And she just proceeded to count at the same pace she was before. That's how Sister Millie does. She'll agree with you. And she'll just keep doing the right thing. I finally had that munchkin. But look here, when you've done all the hard work, when you've gotten up to that point, you're going to be all right. Keep going. Keep doing the right thing. It's not a matter of if your harvest is coming. It's coming. It's not a matter of if your breakthrough is coming. It's coming. It's on the way. It's not a matter if your prayers are going to be answered. They're answered. Amen. Keep going. Don't allow yourself to get so weary where you take a step away from God. Where you get mad at God. You question God. Keep going with God, because you know what? It's nothing but up. And so it says here, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I don't know if y'all ever say this, but I have a time or two. I've said, I'm so worn out from being nice and doing nice things and being good, I'm not doing not one more nice thing for nobody else. You said it? How many honest people? I'm not doing another thing. Nope. The next morning I'm up. Sister Susie, would you like a lasagna? We have our moments where we get weary. Don't get weary doing good. Don't get weary doing the right thing. You're going to make it to the other side of that. Don't get sick of being good to people. There's a misconception, and it really affects people. And the misconception is this right here. You go any time in this life and you're going to have hurts, you're going to have habits, and you're going to have some hang-ups. And that's life. And the worst thing that you could do is hold on to one of those things. You can't afford to hold on to them. They'll stunt your growth. They'll stand in the way of your blessings. We have to learn to let those things go because those are part of the problem that is making us weary to begin with. And we have to learn that, you know what? I'm not going to quit loving on people just because I've gotten hurt by a few of them. There's people, and you've been burned out and burned up by people, and you've been hurt by people. And there's something inside of you that may say, I'm not going to get close to nobody, I'm not going to this, and I'm not going to that, because I don't want anybody hurting me no more. Look here. Lay that all down. Because God's going to send you people that only you can love on. And God's going to send people to you. They were meant to love on you and help you grow. Amen. Last place for me this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 13. And it says here, and as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Never tire of doing what is right. Now realize I didn't just read, never tire of doing what's easy. How many of you know sometimes the right thing is one of the hardest things? The right thing is one of the hardest things. Look here, if God brought you to it, He will bring you through it. If you're going through a hard thing right now, look here, keep doing the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Keep looking for your next opportunity to make the right choice. Keep loving on God. God is faithful. He's just. He's not left. He knows exactly what you're in need of. He knows the moment to bring it about. This was not a long message because you know what? God just didn't want it to be long. I don't know. Maybe one of y'all are wanting to go out to eat somewhere special. Good for you. He may want you to rest. He may want me to rest. I'm trying to do my best to rest. Do we got any people in here? Resting is a struggle for you. It's a struggle for me. If you didn't hear anything that I said this morning, what I want you to hear is, number one, God loves you so much. Number two, He hasn't left. Number three, you don't have to be all fancied up when you're weary. When you're weary, go to God. You can't go to anybody else for a quick fix. It'll leave you messed up. It'll leave you more broken than you were before. When you can train yourself to go directly to the source, that's all that you need to do. Y'all stand to your feet. For all of y'all that were wondering if miracles happen, you just experienced one. I have let out 15 minutes early, and I don't think I've ever done that. Brother Larry's back there. I can see his eyebrows. He's going, oh my gosh. You better take Mary out somewhere nice. Y'all, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, every person, God, that's weary and sad, and Lord, just all types of ways. God, I ask you right now for your peace and your love right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you'd walk down every aisle. God, you know exactly what they need. Lord, I ask that you'd minister to them right now. And I speak to fear and worry and stress, anxiety and depression. And I tell them to go right now in Jesus' name. Amen.